Doing a panel one right. I'm big setting it up for tonight when Cookie comes out to fix work on that old Alice Chalmers tractor again underneath where the bolts fell out. And that's what tore up the hydraulic after we fixed it. That lifts the implements, works the lift. This is a new reel. Cookie 9, a new reel, Cookie 9, beginning of Channel 1 Right. This is Tuesday, the 28th of April, 1970. Tuesday, the 28th of April, 1970, beginning of Channel 1 Right, and beginning of new reel, Cookie 8, Cookie 9, a new reel, Cookie 9.
Still good.
Good man, not.
You don't know.
I never heard that.
If you want to dry a cow up.
What'd you say, Cookie? If you want to dry a cow up.
Give him mullein root.
Now, you know what mullein is?
No.
It keeps you. Mullein?
What is it?
Well, you've been out all over the place.
Back up in the country. It don't grow down here. It grows up in the country. Leaf about that long,
mm-hmm.
About that wide, and it's tan. Fuzzy on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And it grows straight up, just like this. Well, I've saw some flowers down here grow just about like it. Grow up to, and then it seeds out on top. You can take a piece of mullein root, and that's just like carrots, quarter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Feed it to a cow. She won't eat. You got to feed her. But you can dry her up in 6 days.
Put it in a feed.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that.
Mm-mm.
And you can take pumpkin and fatten cows.
Pumpkin.
Yeah.
Will they eat it?
Yes, sir. They love it. And you can take a piece of poke root as big as my finger there and kill all the cows you got.
Poke. Is that nice?
Poke bear, that's what I feed the birds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but they won't eat it. You got to feed it to them.
But the root?
The root, yeah.
Mm.
Now, what started this, Fay, was this stuff we were getting this morning.
Nightshade.
That's the best poison oak medicine there is.
Won't it poison you?
No, definitely not.
Just rub it on you?
Take the leaves and just rub them up. Rub it over your hands or arms. Wherever you get that poison oak. Kill it that quick.
What was that you got? You know, when we got that poison oak down here once, and I come in here and I'd go wash or put some Clorox or something on it, and you told Frank to go out there and get something?
Saravine. That's good, too.
What's that?
Well, now, it's got a leaf like poison oak.
Yeah.
Poison oak has got three leaves to the prong.
This has got five.
This has got five.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, there's plenty of that around.
There's plenty of that.
And you just rub that up
just
in your hands.
Rub it up in your hands and rub it over your arms.
Yeah.
And the sap from that does something.
Cookie oil ice cream. He made. I won't stay all night. I don't remember those things, Cookie. You know, I hear them from time to time, but I forget.
It's like Laura, they called me and told me that. She went home at noon again today. Sick.
Yes.
So, I'm going to go home tonight, and I'm going to fix her some kidney medicine. I'm going to make her drink it. She ain't going to want to, but I'm going to make her drink it. Tonight and in the morning. I'm going to make her drink it.
An egg?
That's right.
Egg sure.
Say that again. The egg.
forget.
Egg.
I forget how you do it.
Take the eggshells and put them in the oven and brown them. Get them brown. About like that coffee there.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in a pint of water. Boil them about 15 minutes. And drink that tea off of those eggshells.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll naturally take the hurting out of your back. It sure was.
You got relieved last fall.
I sure did. And I'm going to give that young lady some eggshell tea tonight when I go home.
Yeah.
Now, they went to the drugstore, and I know they spent at least $15 for medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I can spend 30 minutes tonight and do more good than that $15 worth of medicine will. They don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it should be worth trying.
You know, it'd be nice if a fella could just think.
We were talking, I was eating the other night.
This first meat, this is fairly tasty. But the last meat we've had for the last week or 10 days, it's been tough
and flat.
Flat.
You know, we got some meat the same way.
If Faye cooks it well. And I know Helen does.
And there wasn't nothing she could do to that meat to make it, to fix it so you could eat it. I mean, stew beef lays around my house for 3 or 4 days in the refrigerator. There's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with that meat. It ain't good. It sure ain't good. And it laid around my house, and Helen ended up. She ended up putting it in, I believe she put it in, pork and beans, and she took pork and beans and hamburger and onions. I think she fixed up a big pot of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they eat it that way. She had to put something in to give it a flavor they could eat.
Mm-hmm.
It's flat.
Well, you know, like those chickens. Sometimes the chickens you get now got no taste to them. But now the way we used to do, you see, the old hen would find a nest and them bitters would come off, and you just watch them an inch at a time. And to where you'd get so, you'd say, well, them drumsticks are just about ready.
That's right.
And you see, you'd live on that the whole summer.
That's right.
Or as much long as you wanted to. And just have chicken all the time. And that had taste to it, Cookie.
Yes, sir. Then when we killed our hogs, we put them up in the pen, and we corn fed them.
Yeah.
And fattened them right.
Yeah.
And that meat had taste to it.
Mm-hmm.
Had flavor to it. Beef was the same way. But now then they go out here, and they'll load up a load of hogs out of a range, you know. They take them in, they sell them. Maybe they never saw a grain of corn.
Yeah.
Ain't that right?
Yeah. That's right.
Maybe them hogs never saw a grain of corn. Cows, same way.
I want to get old Tuck Mack to talk about it like that. He's lived back there in that hammock all his life, just about. And he's fattened corn, hogs on mass, acorns, and everything, and he knows one acorn from another, and when they come in, and all like that. And sometime I wish I could get him over here. When he was here, he'd done it all, you know. He just like your daddy. You know, anybody like that, I don't hardly see how they make out on this stuff they have to eat now.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's hard for me to go to the table and sit down and eat where they open everything. Everything that is on the table comes out of a can. It's just hard.
Because you know how it's supposed to taste.
And you take, for instance, collard greens. There's as much difference in fresh collard greens as daylight and dark as they are ones out of a can. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
Just as much difference in
daylight
and dark.
No comparison. Not the same vegetable.
You take canned beans.
The other night, you knew right away they were.
I knew where them beans come from. Not that the others doesn't have the food, the same food value.
They just don't taste right.
But they just don't taste right. Well, to me, they ain't got as much food value because I ain't going to eat as many of them. Mm-hmm.
Cookie, if we could sort of level off and moderate it, you know, like you said, if you made another $200 this week, or you know how it is, if you get so you moderate a little bit, you know, we could do things like that.
Absolutely.
It don't take much time to have a few fresh vegetables and things like that.
You know, if I could get things squared around where Helen's paycheck would buy the groceries, I mean, and with what I could trade in traffic,
yeah,
pay the utilities. Got miles, I'd sell that station so quick it'd make your head swim.
Yeah.
And I'd spend about 99 100% of my time over in that trailer.
Yeah.
I ain't joking you.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Cause
cleaning up around here and doing this and that, I'd do it.
You were pretty well on your way last spring.
Man, I was at the top of that hill just getting ready to coast down. And that hit me all at once.
Yeah, it really hit you.
And I'm just, I'm the same, just about the same position now. It took me a year to get back up to where I was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you had a yard full of them old cars, you see, and you had all these things going on the side. And you can make money out of them auctions.
Yes, sir. Tell you what I can do. I ain't bragging. I can go to Gainesville Livestock Market on Monday and buy me 3 or 4 yearlings. Take them back on Wednesday and make money on them.
Yeah.
I can do it. But first thing, though, I've got to get in good with the auctioneer.
Mm-hmm. How can he help you?
Hang on to him. Make him bring the money.
Oh, yeah.
When I give him the high sign, or you'll hang on to him. Make him bring money. You can, there's a way of making it and not having to work so hard if you can just get on top.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Just get a toehold.
I've taken that weld machine that I've got, cutting torch.
Yes.
Work one day a week.
Yes.
One day. And farm the rest of the time and sat with my feet propped up Saturday evening and Sunday and make more money.
I had clear forgot that. Welding, you see, that's what it's such a premium. Well, these people break down and they got to have something done.
Well, see, I traded for that big 500-amp Hobart. It's got a 6-cylinder Continental engine on it. I'm going to turn in the woods and weld when I get it fixed up. Compliments of the 51 Plymouth.
Every time.
Oh, really?
right.
How'd you
I caught a man one. He just wanted to trade it off. He didn't have no use for it.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
I'm gonna trade him the 51 Plymouth for it. So help me, I'm going to. I can use it, and I can't use that Plymouth. I could, but I ain't got no use for the automobile.
I don't see how they let you keep that old Pontiac that you traded, that you bought. Well, that's just right that's all the time saving, don't cost anything.
I've been offered $200 for that car.
Worth it?
I won't take it. Laura just fell in love with that car.
Well, that's a good car.
And it'll save your big Dodge where you can take trips in it.
That's right.
And don't keep it. That's too big just to put out here on the highway.
Yeah. Just clutter up, keep cluttered up all the time. Because kids are going to school, they're going to be kids. I don't care whose they are. Mine, yours, or John Doe's, or whosoever they might be, they're still going to be kids.
No, that welding, it's all about 2 days a week. Just one or two jobs, that'll pay you groceries.
Yeah.
And they'll look you up.
That's right. I don't have to go out here and look them up. They're going to come to me.
Yeah.
I don't know of a man that'll go out on a farm and weld a piece of machinery.
Yeah.
Do you?
No.
Buddy Smith? No, not yet. Buddy Smith won't. Nuh-uh.
No,
because they'll take it to him. But he could get $10 more per job if he could go out there.
And when you get out there, you can look around.
Yeah. And maybe find something over there you can make $10 on that you can pick up for nothing.
And then he gets to talk to the fella,
yeah.
And he's proud, he's obligated to you for...
He's not mad because he had to take it in.
Yeah.
He's tickled to death because you go out there and do the job out there.
Yeah.
It takes him half a day to get it in there, so he didn't lost half a day's work.
Yeah.
It takes him another half a day to get you started to get it done. If you go out there, do it. You're going to be in a hurry because there may be another man down the road wanting you to go do something for him, see?
And collect. I don't know whether you collect when you get it done or before you do it.
That's the pretty part about that service station up there. I don't have to go around the end of the month looking up this fella and that fella and somebody else down the road here for my money.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I sold $2,000 worth of cows here one time. The fella says, I'm in a hurry now. I'll give you a check for Saturday. I said, you know, I may not see you again for months.
Huh?
He would have given it to me if he'd seen it. He had the money. Well, I didn't doubt about that. But that's how easy it is, you see, to put it on.
Well, they tell me that. I said, look here, you got as much time now as you will Saturday.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
I tell them I ain't going to back up from them a bit.
Now, that's the thing about the service station up there, Cookie. You can get your money right there, or else keep this stuff.
Yeah.
They can just leave it there, pay for it. If you go out there in the field and work on it, you haven't got that leverage.
Yes, there you can pick it up and take it with you. They can't beat you out of labor. No, they can't do that. You can pick it up and take it with you.
welding on your on your cracker. They don't pay for it, take it in.
Take it in and go on.
Here comes the welding man with his cracker.
What do you think about a 500-pound fertilizer spreader guy? Real good one. That's a new one.
Yeah.
It ain't wore out. You pick it up and tow it wet with the tractor.
Yeah.
On 3-point hitch.
Yeah. That's really more satisfactory than the easy flow.
That's right. That's right.
So it's this good. that one, you see, there's not much to keep it clean. It don't.
That's right. I might buy one next week. I might just do it. Bring it down here, we can put fertilizer out with it. And when we get done with it, why, wash it out, paint it out, not paint it, but oil it, just pour motor oil all over it. It'll kill that fertilizer.
Uh-huh.
And just set it back in the shed.
It'll save time.
Save time, save money.
Yeah. Now this little thing I use, you see, it don't put out enough. If you open it up wide. See, I haven't put enough millet or enough fertilizer either one time. It looks like it's thick as snow. But then when you get through, you got a lot left over, seed and fertilizer.
I got a little work to do.
Go ahead. I just wanted you to hear this.
Cookie, thank you for coming.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for supper.
Okay.
You know that Arnett fella, you see down there, that string fella, that's a saving, Cookie. That's a saving.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
You see, on that pipe that I'm going to get from a well over here, I'm going to save about 45%.
Yeah.
I'm gonna save enough to I'll just walk up to him and stick a $5 bill in his pocket. And he'll appreciate it, and if I need something else I can go get it then. He don't have to have the money. He don't need money. No.
Take a little welding now and then, couldn't
you? Sure. I do welding for him.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Be glad to.
But now, you can't mix your welding with your service station down there.
No, it won't mix too well.
Without you got Clyde or somebody there.
That's right. Because when I'm under the helm of the welding, they could walk in there and steal me blind just that quick.
Yeah.
That's just why I took my little welder home, because I was just a afraid guy.
You gotta have your eye out all the time.
You gotta have it open all the time. That's why it took me so long to put my Dodge back together.
Yes.
Because I couldn't keep my eyes open and concentrate on that and look at that. And look back through there too.
Yeah.
It took me all. I worked on it all day yesterday and all day today, off and on.
Well, now, how do they do it at the gas well there? Of course, they got several people.
They got more help than I got. Then they got a woman inside, a bookkeeper.
But she can't see out there.
She can see out there at that cash register.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And they got men outside to watch them gas pumps.
Yeah. And what little doodads they got laying around inside is no great item anyhow, is it?
Not anymore. Now, when Bob Perry was there, they had anything and everything in there.
Everything will cost you so much. It's going to take you be so much trouble. Now look at me on that little Ford front Ford tire. Now you see, you don't have to be a mechanic to change a tire, that sort of thing. Of course, I didn't have an air. I didn't have a tire tool or anything.
That's right.
You know that air is helpful.
Oh yeah. Yes, sir.
Now when you've got as many cars, look at these old things I've got and these tractors and all. And I could use a little air to clean things off now and then.
Yeah.
It wouldn't hurt me. I could get a little 25-pound air thing and fill it up somewhere else. Of course, the simplest thing would be to have a little compressor of your own, wouldn't it?
I'm trying to deal for one. It's about 150-pound pressure is all it'll carry, but that's enough.
Well, now, these little compressors on the refrigerator, is they too small?
Yeah.
Need something bigger than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's just like we said a while ago. I'm just now getting back to where I was last summer when I went backwards.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to hear them headaches really hit you then, didn't
they?
Oh,
my gosh. It just tore me up.
Yes, sir. You know, I know people that have headaches like that all the time. And I bet you there's nothing wrong with them except the put up with so much.
They called me up today and wanted me to come back up for a raising or what?
Did it?
Yeah. George didn't. Buford Brunson, he called me up and asked me to come back and go to work. I said, no. I said, I may not have the best place to work or the best business in Gainesville, but I sure got the best scenery. I just let it go with that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I tell you, Cody, these young fellas that help you out, work for hours, a little bit like that. You know, if you want to get off a little, now as long as you're there and they can help you, it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you try to get off, it's going to be so tedious. You've got to check up on all this stuff and the money and all like that.
I just do it all myself and stay there what time I can. And if I can't stay there and watch over everything myself, I'll pull them doors down and lock that door and go.
Lock it out.
Because it's mine.
But just so you don't go off.
Yeah.
And leave it there with somebody.
That's right.
But now you see with somebody like Clyde, it's different because he don't want it.
He don't want it, no.
He don't want a thing you got.
He wants to help me.
Yeah.
He wants to build me up.
That's right.
And he's going to do it. And I'm going to make a spot for him when he comes back.
That's right.
He's really a daddy to me now. There ain't no getting around about it. Clyde Harrison is a daddy to me.
You see, if you was to walk off and say, we, everything you left would be there when you got back.
That's right. It'd be right there. He'd take care of my customers just like I'm taking care of his while he's gone.
He just don't want it.
No.
Anything you got, he don't want it. Yes, sir.
Well, I haven't saw anybody that I could fall into as quick as I did with him.
Yeah.
And learn to work with him like I did him.
Yeah. Well, I just seen him down there. He's kind of through your eye. But he seems to me to be just a genius at all that stuff.
He is.
He can tell what to do just as soon as he looks at it. And yeah. His hands would go fast.
You know, doing a valve job, we done 2 or 3 valve jobs there. Now, I take the right-hand side of an engine. Air conditioned, everything's mounted on that side. I'm just used to working that side of the engine.
Yeah.
Because I work that side with me and Frank.
Oh.
I give Frank the open side, the easy side. See what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. I could do the hard side just as quick as Clyde can the easy side. When we both get started, we both work about the same speed.
Yeah. Yeah. You move too whenever you get started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, give us 20 minutes and we'll have a pair of heads off an engine.
Yeah. Well, what about that?
Yeah, we'll have them off ready for... I've called 16th Avenue, asked them when they could pick up a pair of heads. They said in about 30 minutes. Me and Clyde has backed the car in, drained the water out, and pulled the heads before they could get there to get them.
Yeah.
We sure did that. On a 64 Ford.
Yeah.
It's zip, 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 and everything
yeah.
comes right off.
Well,
of course, I've got the power tools, the fast tools to do it with.
Yeah.
That impact wrench, man, just zip, zip, zip,
oh,
and
see.
That pulled him.
I see.
Why, anything comes off of there.
Well, is that the same one you use for the
tire?
Tire?
Yeah. Sure.
You just put a different fitting in it.
Yeah. I've got a complete set from a half inch all the way up to 15/16.
And the links.
Yeah. Links. I've got one extension about that long.
Yeah. Well, now that's the same thing as the socket wrenches, except it's automatic.
Yeah, it's air wrench. Yeah. I've got extensions from that long to about that long.
2 or 3 inches to a couple of feet, 2 or 3 feet.
3 feet. And I've got enough extensions to put them together, and I can reach about 8 feet. I can really get away from work that way.
Get away from it.
Yeah. Let's see. Not further than that. I've got 4 28-inch extensions in my 3/8 drive.
Mm-hmm.
4 of them's 28 inches long. About 9 feet, a little better than 9 feet. Then I've got 3 12-inch ones. And I've got 1 18-inch extension. Then I got 1 1-inch, and I got 1 3-inches, and I got 1 6-inches. Oh, it takes them all. You got to have them all if you're going to do mechanic work.
I don't guess 2 good mechanics ever work together. As a steady thing, but now you take some of that specialized work over there at Brazington's and those good places. A lot of time one man just don't have in mind what to do next, does he?
He can't think fast enough.
And sometimes he not quite sure.
That's right. Another man come along. And when his mind is relaxed, he's not thinking about that particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
He can tell you right quick what to do.
Yeah. That's right. Do not push. How's a man, you know, back in the country, Cookie, we never worked under pressure. I thought about that the other day when that hydraulic thing spurted. And when I drive cattle or do anything like that, I'm under pressure all the time. I don't just walk along with them, you see, and like this, but I put them in motion with my voice.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to me like we never did do that when I was growing up back in those times. We would never had that hydraulic pressure. Now, you see, I was just a child then.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how the adults was, but I don't think they ever was either.
No, they didn't have I don't think so either. They more or less, say for instance, if they was driving cattle and they wanted to stop and get a drink of water, or if a cow wanted to stop and get a drink of water, well, everybody stopped. They'd drive them a few miles, and if they wanted to stop and graze a while, well, they stopped and they grazed a while. They'd sit down on the road bank and let them graze.
Yeah.
No pressure. They didn't push nothing.
Yeah.
Well, nowadays, they start driving cattle. Well, the further they go, the faster they get, and the louder they get, and the more pressure they build up, and then consequently, it's all going to blow up, just like that hose did out there.
Well... Now, you see, I learned this just since I've been down here from a fellow that lived out here a while. When he was moving cattle, he'd always push them just to keep them off balance. Well, he'd make a move a lot faster than I do, but I still picked up that bad habit. And I say, well, they'll stay together. And they'll ramble less if I push them just a little bit. Well, I'm not sure if that's true. Because when I bring them up from the back pasture, they just haven't got one way to go anyhow.
That's right. That's right.
So I've just learned a bad habit, haven't I?
Uh-huh.
That's what it amounts to.
I remember back, Dad used to have some more cattle than he could pasture in the summertime, and he would rent pasture. From this friend of ours. He lived about 2 miles away. And we drove cattle. We'd drive our cattle over there instead of hauling while we're driving. And they had a little horse, called him George. Not much bigger than Tony. Not much. And Dad would get in front with old George, and me and some of my other brothers and sisters would walk behind, and them old cows would follow old George and Daddy. I mean, just move right on.
Yeah.
And we'd bring up the tail, and never had a bit of trouble. If they wanted to stop them, get a mud hole, get a drink of water, well, they stopped. We didn't push them.
Yeah.
We never pushed them. Never did. And you'll see lots of people when they're hauling cattle in a truck. Well, they get out there and they haul them just like they was going to a fire, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the right way to haul cattle. Put yourself in the back of a truck and stand up in the middle and let a fella take off and drive just like he's going through a fire. You can't stand up, save your neck. Where if he takes it easy, 35, 40 miles an hour, he hits a bump or hits a little sway, he don't throw you slap across that truck. You got time to catch yourself. Or you ain't gonna bounce to your knees when he hits that bump either. It's gonna hit easy. That's the same way with a cow. Now, lots of people don't realize that.
They think, they're just cattle.
And they think it don't make any difference.
Yeah.
But they don't realize that maybe the next week, a piece of that old bruised cow that they're going to throw down in their truck is going to be on their table.
Yeah. Let me tell you what I learned. I told you that, I think. Did I? Friday night, 10 o'clock, they had this Everglades picture on the battle down there over the jet port.
Yeah.
Well, now, I don't know the issues, you know, that were real factors down there, but except the way it was presented in that thing. and you see, they'd already put in the jet port and it was ready to start training out there, and they're going to develop it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
They said they weren't, but they liars, they were. And the conservation people finally got a hearing. And what it was the water. It wasn't a decision to preserve the wilderness down there. That wasn't it. Of course, that was a big factor.
Yeah.
But the factor was that the water situation in that part of Florida, from the Cypress Swamp on down, has to have all that big area unpolluted if the people on the Gulf Coast and the East Coast have fresh water. And that's what the decision was over. So you see, it wasn't alligators against people and development against population, yes, the other. It was the population couldn't survive without all that water.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only source of water, fresh water. And it's got to have that, just the, now I can't explain it to you, understand? I don't know the terminology. but it's got to be on top there, and it's porous down below. And that's the reservoir. And on top of that, they say they've got to learn how to, what do they call it, reuse it, process it.
Reprocess.
Yeah, don't you know, they've got a word for that.
Oh yeah, uh-huh.
And use it over and over again before it goes out into the ocean. So it's a battle for water. That is, they haven't got enough water. People haven't got enough water.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and the jet port was going to pollute water that the people was going to use. So it wasn't saving alligators, it was saving the people. Now that's a curious thing. I didn't know that.
Well, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah. Now you said something made me think of that. That's the way it took down there. You know, it's hard to find out what happens. You might read a newspaper, but you don't understand what you read. There's nothing much there.
They don't explain nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when that nigger come in the tape place over there and with that stolen credit card. Monsterio, he held her there, the police got there, and the police booked her, towed her car in, took her to jail, and I don't know what they're going to do with her. Yeah, better go home. Yeah, them kids will be with themselves before I can get there now.
Oh, that's it. 560. Channel 1 right, 560. That's the end of that nice little visit at the table. Tape. I didn't think for a while we'd tape. We'd just talk easily. And then Cookie started on his herbs. And I thought that was too good to let it go. So I got Faye to come in and as a distraction, and I turned on the machine. And one thing went to another, and one of the finest parts is what he says about Clyde. He couldn't leave the little boy in charge of the station go off. No telling what would happen. He could leave Clyde, because Clyde didn't want anything that belonged to Cookie. So it's Channel 1 right, 570-75, this Tuesday night. That was after supper, late supper. He came late to fix a tractor, and he had to put the top back on his big Dodge station wagon before he came. That made him late. He tried to telephone, and Preacher Taylor is the only one he could get, I believe he said. At 9:20, I called time, and he looked up the clock and said, "Lord, help us. The children are by themselves, or we'll be before I get there." And now it's 580, Channel 1 right. Visit with Cookie after supper, Tuesday, 28th of April, 1970.